This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by the Amazon Store. Click on the link on our website at onceuponatime.sqpn.com before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
Power outage must be your worst nightmare. Lose a lot of merchandise?
No, I didn't lose anything. Just lucky, I guess.
And that is how we get introduced to the Ice Cream Queen, or the Ice Queen, or whoever she was. We'll talk about that in today's episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, our show dedicated to the ABC series with that exact title. Mine is The Secrets, because that is why you are listening to this podcast. Joining me today to talk about this new chilly episode, three of our panel members, Lisa, Shelley, and David. Welcome to the show. Unfortunately, fortunately, Deborah is not here because she has a very good reason not to be here. She is celebrating her birthday. So happy birthday, Deborah. We hope you have a wonderful day. And Inge has a day off. So it's just the four of us, but we have plenty of things to talk about, as usual. So before I play the audio for the episode, let me just make the first round. How would you rate this show, Lisa?
Ooh, it was not a favorite of mine. I like a five.
A five, low grade.
Yeah, no.
let me switch to David. How would you rate this episode?
Well, I'd still give it a seven.
A seven.
Not as awesome as last time, but we had some of the other characters that weren't featured last episode or kind of stood up this time.
Have you seen Frozen in the meantime?
Still need to see it.
Okay. Well, that's something you still has in store. Shelley, what about you?
I think you should call me Joan during this episode.
Joan, sure. Sure, Joan. How did you like this episode?
I'd give it a six. I'm wavering between six and seven, and I did not pick six because Lisa picked five and David picked seven. But I liked it. It was okay. It's moving the story, and they had some really funny moments.
All right. I'll give this episode the same grade as Lisa did. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. I didn't like it very much. I didn't care that much for it. I thought the story was very simple, a bit superficial. The thing that irked me the most was the acting, or the lack thereof. My goodness, what's going on? It was just... It was painful, especially the ending, especially the restoration of the power, the bit between Regina and what's his name?
Henry.
Henry. I'm trying to forget him. it's so terrible. The acting was just not good. I guess it was either the because we know that these people can act, so it's either the director or the lines that they were given, or perhaps they just had a lousy day over in Canada. But the only one that I truly appreciated was Hook. It's like he's starting to become one of my favorite. But we'll talk about Hook and Elsa and, gosh, all the other guys and girls after I play the sound of the promo for this particular episode, which was called White Out, if I am correct.
Mariana, I will find you.
Next Sunday.
Until we're together, no one leaves this town.
Stonybrook is taken by storm. And a desperate quest takes a chilling turn.
Emma's trapped under ice by a woman with ice magic.
She's freezing to death.
A spellbinding new season is just getting started.
I'll do whatever it takes to get my sister back.
New, Once Upon a Time, next Sunday, 8, 7 Central on ABC.
I guess the promo was about the most exciting part of this episode.
I was just thinking that the promo was a little misleading for what the episode was really about.
What do you think the promo suggested then?
The promo to me suggested that Elsa was going to be the villain and she was going to, you know, purposefully trap Emma or do something to Emma. And they were going to have to, you know, bind together and unite to rescue Emma. And I didn't get that. It was a little more sweetness of an episode than anything else. And like I said before, at filler, it's like you've gone through the introduction and now we're in chapter one.
Yeah. And it was very much, Elsa was very much like her character in Frozen, in the movie, where she's mostly reacting out of fear and creating walls of ice.
Well, it's almost like they went backwards to try to, for everyone who hasn't seen the movie, they went backwards to tell you how Elsa learned to control her magic.
Perhaps.
And what happens. And I felt, having seen the movie a bunch, it just felt very... Really? We've done this.
Yeah, been there, done that. You should have learned by now.
Well, what did you think, David?
David, you haven't seen it. How
did you think of that?
Yeah, good question.
Well, since I kind of tried to kind of... I felt that this... I felt there was a little retread, even though I haven't seen it before, just because it seemed like it was kind of trying to, you know, hammer some point home to people that whether you've seen it or not, remember these are Frozen characters. You love the Frozen movie.
Mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it does. Yeah, it's almost treating Frozen as if it were Snow White or Dumbo or Pinocchio. It's like, of course everybody knows what Frozen is about and what the story is about.
Yeah.
I've read quite a few complaints on Twitter of people who are like, I have not seen Frozen, so you're not alone, David. And I got completely lost. I don't understand what's happening, and people were irritated by the fact that they just assumed that you'd seen the movie, which I think is not a wrong assumption, seeing how popular that movie has become and how much the fan base for Once Upon a Time is consists out of people who will probably, you know, have families and have watched this each and every movie of Disney.
Well, and they let you know back in May that this was coming. So I'm, you know, so if you're a fan of Once Upon a Time, it gave you a lot of time to try to see the movie. So
do your homework.
I guess in a way the producers were saying, hey, here, it's coming.
We told you so.
Why don't you go watch it? So, you know, for those who feel left out, it's, you know, at the same time, they've prepped you. So now go watch it so that they don't have to rehash the whole movie for us.
Yeah, or go buy it. So that's probably more in the back of their minds.
Sure. I think you can get it streaming, though.
They did do some things right. And they did some things that were funny. And, I mean, even if you hadn't seen the movie Frozen and... I don't know. There were a lot of things that I did still like. I mean, they had some great lines in this movie, in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with our question of what was your favorite moment? What was the most redeeming moment in this episode, Shelley?
Okay, my favorite moment isn't the most redeeming moment. So that's two different things for me. Ask me the redeeming one later. But my favorite moment of all time was when Snow had her complete meltdown rant because I saw myself. I saw myself.
Really?
You have survived your entire lives without light bulbs. Go buy a flashlight.
Yeah.
Because she's never been a mom before. She's never been a new mother before. This is all brand new to her. She's a first-time infant mom. Remember the last time she gave her 3-minute-old baby away.
True. On the other hand, I felt that she was behaving very much like a mom, who, and especially because it's the dwarves that are complaining, and she's kind of been their substitute mom for quite a while. So
and Granny. You think Granny would know better.
Yeah, Granny was a bit disappointing, but then it's perhaps her age. And she's like, oh, there's no television anymore.
They've all gotten like, soft.
I get why Regina was evil.
Shelley and I talked about this. This was my favorite moment, too, because it just showed her as a normal... It didn't glow, you know, and so many times in TV shows, when you have a baby on a show, it's like you go back to being a size zero when everything's perfect, mm-hmm. and the baby sleeps. And, you know, I loved this. I love that she looks like she just had a baby,
yes.
You know, and she talks about she hadn't slept and she's nursing and this and that. And, you know, she's got the baby with her in the power plant. You know, someone's not watching him, you know,
yeah.
The baby's there. She's dealing with it all. And, I liked it.
Oh, my girls! Yeah,
I was mad at them. Like they were like they left her in the power plant with a baby. I'm like, what are you thinking?
She's the mayor now. She cast the curse, therefore she's the mayor. That's how that works.
But what about the father, David? What do you think as a young new father? What did you think about the role of daddy?
Well, I think the dad, Charming, is a bit. but old school in the fact that he's like, I'm going to go fight. I'm going to go off to, you know, fight whatever's, and then you hold down the fort and keep the, and watch the baby, because that doesn't always fly these days. sometimes dad has to stay at home, and I've done that, so I totally empathize with Snow White too. I'm like, I've had a week where I think 12 hours, I think I racked up 12 hours in a week of sleep.
Wow.
And
And you're not even nursing.
No, I'm not even nursing. And
you understood,
you know, keeping my cool, and you would not want me around a power plant or something that with electricity or anything like that at that point.
Well, it's good to hear that you're able to keep your cool, pun intended.
Yeah.
So and when they said, "What do babies dream about?" and without missing a beat, they each walk by bullfighting, laser tag.
Yep.
Hey, really good lines, really funny lines here.
Really good lines, yeah.
As I mentioned before, I really liked Hook in this episode. I liked the conversation at the ice wall where Charming is like, so let's talk about you kind of trying to, you know, conquer my daughter, and she's not a prize and she's not loot. And I really feel that in a way Hook is more modern now than Charming, and he's very sincere in those moments, and I like his character progression. And at the same time, also his desperate attempt to get through that ice wall with his hook. I'm like, that's going to take quite a while before you get anywhere.
Makes you wonder how many takes they had to go through to stop laughing.
Probably.
It's not working,
yes.
But I have to do something quick.
But I liked him. He's really Prince Charming almost in his behavior. He's the one who wants to save Emma and wants to say he wants to be the prince on the white horse. And of course, he's just Hook. But I appreciated that. I thought it was great.
But love motivates.
Apparently, yeah. Quite a bit, and as does fear, because that's of course the big issue with Elsa. She has lost her sister, and she suspects that whoever owns the pawn shop is involved, and she builds that huge wall around the city around the little town of Storybrook to prevent anyone from leaving the crime scene, as it were. Which, of course, is kind of naive, because it might as well be that her sister is on the other side of the wall. What is she thinking? And I was a bit puzzled by the whole thing of the medallion or whatever it is, and why. I mean, she was carrying it, but why is she so upset when she didn't lose it? And does it have any powers or something? I don't know.
I kept thinking that Anna was going to be trapped inside the necklace when Bo Peep said she'd, you know, taken care of her. I put her someplace where she can't get out, and she held up the necklace, and I thought, oh man,
she's inside.
She
the
magicked
necklace.
Her into that little necklace. That's where the necklace is going to be.
Could
and
be.
Then, of course, I was wrong. She just had her stashed in the barn. So
yeah. The episode is called, of course, White Out, as a referring to the snow, but also to the, you know, them being without power. Is there just like a symbolic value to that as well? That there's no more light?
I thought it also the out could have been a reference to the book, because they made such a big deal out of last episode, Regina saying she was going to change the book. And if you remember in the first season,
like Snow White out.
When she holds up the book, when you see the book, the only letters on the book that are emboldened or really stand out are once upon time. The A is little. So it looks like OUT.
Interesting.
Now we always call it OUAT for once upon a time, but
yes.
When you look at that book, it says out very clearly on the book.
Oh.
And I remember saying, well, get out of what? Get out of the curse? Get out of? So when I saw the episode was titled White Out, I thought, oh, well, what a great play on words.
Or is it – I mean, it's definitely a play on words. It's also there not being any electricity, and then Snow White actually being out of wits as to how to solve that. And she's, you know, Snow White, White Out. Yeah. Burnout. But We switch back to a very early time, I think, in the Enchanted Forest, where all of a sudden we see Prince Charming walking around like one of the lost members of the Beatles. Just being a shepherd, living with his mom, and being under the spell, or at least in the clenches of the clutches of a very nasty-looking woman who is called a warlock or something. I was like, who is she, and why is she so nasty, and what's going on here? Any ideas?
Little Bo Peep. Well, it's Little Bo Peep. The Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep, and.
Doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them.
Behind them, yeah.
Isn't that supposed to be a good
little
character?
Little Peep reimagined as basically a cheap witch / slumlord thug.
Yeah. Okay. I think they called her a warlord. Isn't that what they call her?
Yes, they called her a warlord.
Or warlock?
Warlord or warlock?
Warlock.
Warlord.
Okay.
I thought it was lord.
It sounded something like from a video game.
I wondered if it was a reference to the Ogre Wars.
Oh, okay.
But she's basically your local mafia.
Wicked witch.
Like, your mafia.
Yeah, that's how she behaved, yes.
You pay me your protection
money. I protect you from these evil thugs who happen to report to me.
But it's almost as if they were trying to, because she's carrying her staff also looked like a shepherd's staff. Or a bishop's staff, for that matter.
Yeah, it's a little shepherd's crook.
Yeah, so it's almost like, who's the real shepherd? And you've got people that abuse their power. And then, of course, Charming is always good and charming, so he's a good guy. But he doesn't have any power. He's completely defenseless. And he needs, apparently, intervention from another world to learn how to defend himself. He truly looked like a wuss and behaved like one.
Yeah. Well, he got really good really fast.
Yeah, just one night.
Which is why the episode wasn't a 10.
It's an enchanted forest, perhaps. But
didn't you have epic training montage they usually have with those kind of sequences?
Pam 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 pam.
Well, 18, but close enough.
Well, you did have to wonder in the first season how this shepherd could just come out of nowhere, out of obscurity, and replace his twin brother who'd been raised as a prince and, you know, really be able to step up and do everything. And so I thought that was kind of sweet that they tied it in together. Although I still loved when he said anything for Kristoff's fiance, and she's just all, how'd you know?
Okay, but they got to do something about that hair. That was horrible. I mean,
the hair was horrible? Whose hair? His hair.
David.
David's hair. Oh, yeah.
Gosh. I get you're trying to show a difference, but holy cow, that was horrible. It was so distracting.
Well, but on the other hand, it's like immediately it's like, wow, this is a very, very different David than the one that we know. It's like his younger years.
I kept waiting for him to like fling it back, like Fabio or something, you know?
Yeah, put it in a knot.
It's gonna be a transformation. His character has to transform physically, spiritually, mentally, everything.
I guess he first discovered the value of the sword and then later on the scissors. Probably. I don't know.
Ooh, a Samson and Delilah moment.
Yeah. Nice. Well,
maybe
but then
inverted.
Both people cut his hair.
I was a bit confused. By the appearance of this warlock, I felt that her motives and why Charming and his mom were so subservient wasn't really established very well. It was almost a caricature. The other thing that was a bit confusing is why is Anna so secretive about where she comes from and what her mission is? I mean, why can't she just say, hey, you know, I'll teach you. I'm royal. I can, you know, I had soldiers. And she's kind of like not sure what to tell. And why?
To me, this is plot-driving character instead of character-driving plot. Mm-hmm. And I think if it was me, I think the reason they introduced Bo Peep was really so that they'd have the shepherd's crook at the end of the episode so that they could have some way magically to try and find Anna.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Anna was so secretive. The only thing I can think of is because she doesn't know either. But if she doesn't know...
Well.
She just knows it's magic.
I thought she was being secretive because, you know, it's you know, she didn't want her sister to find her, and you know, that's, you know, it's hard to say what, it's hard to say what's out there in the, you know, in the Enchanted Forest, if there's, if there, you know, if anyone finds out that she's royalty, then, you know, then someone might try to you know, kidnap her and hold her for ransom, and then not only is she kidnapped, but then her sister finds where she is, and that, and so it's done absolutely no good at all.
But remind me what she is actually trying to find out in the Enchanted Forest. She's, there's a problem with the parents, but they're dead. But there was some secret, and is what?
Whatever her parents were, you know, whatever their, the big bad news was that they were going to discover or take care of, and when they were killed.
Is that
whatever the truth is that their daughters need to know?
Okay.
Deborah,
yeah, so she doesn't know either.
Ideas on that, but she's not here.
And Elsa is staying at home to kind of watch the fortress, literally.
Oh, no, she ran off. Elsa didn't know. I think Elsa's going to come after her.
Oh, okay.
Well, she has to come after her because she ends up in an urn in Rumpelstiltskin's dungeon.
Yeah, so she's going to have to.
Okay. So the we get the sword fighting lessons, and again, I'm wondering, well, Anna, of course, is just outraged morally. How can you not defend your mom and stand up to this woman? And but who is the naive one? Is it truly David, or is she just naive to think that with a little bit of sword fighting? Because I'm thinking, you know what, the warlock lady, she has a magic staff, and it's not by defeating two of her servants or soldiers or whatever that you're going to vanquish magic. And yet, it seems to work. Apparently, that the magic is not that strong.
Her magic seems to be. Go ahead, David.
I'm just saying she didn't really bother to use the magic. She just picked up a sword, and you know, she wasn't half bad at it. But if she really was, you know, really was thinking, she would have just, you know, did what she did before and just knocked him to the ground.
Exactly.
She didn't bother to use the magic.
Her magic seemed to be limited to being able to brand her lambs, her sheep,
and then to see where they are. Which, what good is that?
Yeah.
The
only good
ground,
thing is so that they have a way to find Anna at in Storybrooke.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Except for it didn't really work. But yeah.
So the fact that the staff turns up in Storybrooke and they're trying to use it is because Anna is still branded as well or something?
Yeah. That she was branded, so therefore the staff must be able to help her find him.
Was she? Because I've only seen Charming and his mom getting branded.
Well, she
I
says
think it
she
was
branded
just
her.
Presumed, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, she said she did.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And then
stuck
David
her in the
used
barn.
It. Well, David used it to find her.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
True.
Yeah. So it kind of can tell you the general direction, maybe. So it's kind of like the enchanted version of Apple Maps, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like a GPS system.
Yeah, not as good as Google Maps, but.
But it's I don't know. We're just a few moments where we're like not convinced that it worked. And well, let's talk about what happens to Elsa and Emma. And so she conjures up this icy cave or whatever it is. And then,
she built up walls.
Yeah, she's building up walls. That's what she's good at. I was like, okay, why don't you just do a big castle or something? So at least, you know, you have a kitchen.
The episode is about building up walls and so that you're running away. The whole season, whole series, really. If you go all the way back to the first season, you know, remember Emma came to Storybrooke. She had all those walls that she put up. And remember Graham when she first allowed herself to love and she kissed him and then he remembered everything and then he died.
Yeah.
so they're all about building up walls. Regina's running away. She's avoiding the pain of this relationship with Robin and Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Elsa's running away. She's hiding. She's afraid. She's building up walls to protect herself from being hurt. Emma and Hook have finally started to break down those walls, which is why here's Emma and Elsa talking. Again, it's the parallel to Frozen. Emma to Regina, I know you're in there. Emma to Elsa, you know, let's talk. I can't control it too. I'm just like you. So David, as a shepherd, he's building up walls. He's a coward, which I thought was kind of cool with the whole Wizard of Oz theme we had last half season.
Mm-hmm.
and he was called a coward.
And of course, Rumpelstiltskin was also a coward.
Yeah. So he's afraid of loss. They're all afraid of losing something, or they're all afraid of fighting.
Hold on, David. You're falling away. There's a little bit of ice on the line. You were saying?
Sorry, I was just saying that, with a lion, just, he definitely has the lion's mane right now for this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Although he looked like a scarecrow as well. Then the, I'm trying to think what happened, what else happened. Actually, I had difficulty concentrating on this episode because I felt it just... It was a little bit spun out, and there was not enough to keep my attention. So there is the threat of Emma freezing to death. There is Charming not knowing how to solve it. Apparently, Elsa still hasn't learned how to undo her frozen magic.
Except for she totally did that in the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's what I was like. How did the movie Frozen end? Hello. Wasn't it just all like back to the way it should
be? But it was Anna. It was Anna's love.
She knew that.
Yeah.
But she's been trapped in Rumpelstiltskin's urn for the last 50 years.
Years. Unlearned.
How long was the curse? 30 years?
I don't know. Well, I suppose if you're in suspended animation like that or frozen, then, it goes by very quickly. It's like interstellar travel. You just wake up and 1,000 years have passed.
Did anyone else not wonder? Let's see. We have Ice. Who fought Ice last week? Let me think. Oh, wait. It was Regina, right?
I think she had the vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So why were they running all over the place for the crook, and then we're going to go find Anne? I mean, we only have a few minutes before Emma freezes to death, so let's go run all over town.
Yeah.
Why don't we just go get Regina, who also has magic, who can unfreeze the ice wall? Well,
that would have been too easy, and you wouldn't have had – they wouldn't have been able to do all this talk about fighting impossible fights, especially –
But you know what? I would have been okay with that.
Well, Rumpel should have been able to as well, but he was making excuses.
I know, but are they trying to explain that? But because of the fact that there's a power outage, and so they can't call anyone, or they don't seem to have cell phones.
Rumpel totally knows what's going on because you could see it in his face. And Belle, they come up and they say she took something out of your shop, and Belle's like, not even a whole second passes. And she's like, is this it?
Is this
it?
Like, yes.
Wow, you didn't even ask what it was. You just happened to be standing there on your honeymoon looking through items. And I didn't have a chance to pause and see what was written on the card. But it had writing on the card. So, clearly he knew. He had provenance.
She's
he knew where it came from.
Categorizing everything in the store.
I know. She'd been cataloging it.
Yeah,
they're doing inventory on their honeymoons. Not they have one nice dance in the wizard's house, and now they're back doing inventory.
Of course, things do get resolved because Emma befriends Elsa. And now Elsa is trying to figure out how to help her, and in the end she manages to melt the wall because Charming convinces her to do so, to trust.
He reminds her what Anna told him, what Anna taught me. She saved my life,
Yeah.
Survival isn't enough. You have to live. It's not enough just to survive.
And it's basically because. David uses a phrase from Anna, right? That she's mm-hmm. like, oh, how do you know? Do you know her? And that's where she kind of remembers.
It's like having something to focus on or having a talisman that reminds you always to choose good or, that reminds you always to stay focused on the right path, the right direction, the right way to behave.
Mm-hmm.
So for Elsa, when she loses her compass, when she loses her sister, she can't control her magic. When Regina loses hers, she turns to evil. You see it kind of as a theme. David didn't have it. He didn't know it. And now he learned that to fight, you have to be able to live with yourself. Why did he finally pick up the sword and go after Bo Peep? Because he thought that she was going to kill or had killed Anna. And he couldn't allow that to happen. He couldn't live with himself. So he would rather die trying to defend her or die trying than to simply live a life of cowardice and acquiescence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what Anna had taught him. You know, you have to fight these impossible fights because you have nothing to lose. If you don't fight, you can't achieve anything. You're just going to be there and do nothing and be controlled by other people. You have to stand up for yourself. Hmm. And that's what he basically said to her. You know, look, if you don't find it within you, you can live. You'll survive. But Emma's going to die. And you have to be able to live with yourself. You can't do that trapped in a life you don't want. And she was like, you knew it, my sister. That's what she would say. And suddenly her focus is back. Her talisman is back. Her compass is back. And she's able to channel her magic and control it enough to allow Emma to escape.
Good point. It's only a small hole that she's able to create, but it's enough. It's
Right. So, anyway, that's what I took out of it.
Yeah. And then I still found it a bit of a anticlimactic moment that was all that was necessary. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, what about this?
Okay, but yeah. We didn't say what about finding Bo Peep in the butcher shop?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, actually. Why is she a butcher? Is that a reference to like bat mafia movies or something?
Lamb chops. It was the chop shop.
Lamb chops.
It was called the chop shop.
I actually thought that was, you know, because they gave her this, you know, just kind of rough accent and rough demeanor, you know, and, you know, all of this. So it was kind of fitting, you know, that her storybook persona is the butcher. I don't know. I kind of liked that.
I was a bit surprised that she turns up in this episode, and she's never been mentioned before.
And I guess that's to show us that they're not beyond bringing in more fairy. I mean, if you think about it, they did what they do. They took a fairy tale that you know, not really fairy tale, but and twisted it. Mm-hmm. I think if they were going to do it, they should have explored it a little bit more, developed it a little bit more. But I still like that they introduced us to someone new, and they made her kind of, so she's in town now, so maybe we'll see her again, you know?
Have any of you seen Nanny McPhee?
Yes.
No, okay. I haven't.
Okay. Lisa, you've seen it. Did Nanny McPhee, did Bo Peep remind you in any way of Mrs. Quickly, the woman that's going to marry the dad?
No.
And she's over-exaggerated, British, kind of almost a Cockney accent, and, you know, very low class kind of accent, and she's kind of coming in and taking control, and she's controlling the children, and
no.
I'm the only one that's seen Nanny McPhee. Somebody listening has seen Nanny McPhee.
Of course,
and they'll know what I'm talking about.
No, that, she kind of looked like character. A weird extra from Les Mis in the early scenes, you know. you know, on the waterfront there, just saying.
Okay. Well, my girls and I, we all went, she's the lady of Nanny McPhee, the one that, you know, he's going to marry. Okay.
I'm not sure if we will see her ever again. To me, I think her story arc is done.
She was very strange. But we got her hook now, so we can, or crook.
Yeah.
Shepherd's crook. So we can.
By hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Now we have both, hook and crook.
Yes.
So now we can hopefully, well, it didn't really work seeing Anna, so we still don't know where she is, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
You know why they named her Joan, right?
I was confused.
In the song.
But David wouldn't.
In the song?
In the song, what's that song? Joan, you know, as she's in front of the Joan of Arc picture.
She says, it's lonely. Oh. I'm starting talking to the pictures on the wall. Uh-huh. And then she goes by. And there's a big picture of Joan of Arc.
Of
and she's like, hang in there, Joan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
it was a nod to the movie.
Oh, probably. But... Absolutely. And even the phrase, I know you're in there, was repeated again in this episode.
Henry.
We'll get more puns like that, I suppose. By the way, I freeze-framed the card with the description of the brooch. And it's just basically an inventory card. It says item number 2081, silver brooch. Is it brooch? You pronounce it? Ice crystal design. Probably mid-1830s, Northern Europe. Silver is unmarked, but acid test core, and then it's hidden by the photo. I suppose corroborates or something. A nice vintage condition, attachment, blah, blah, blah. Sterling with some wear and light scratches or something like that.
So, and Hans Christian Andersen was writing in the 1830s and 40s.
Probably.
And the Snow Queen was published first in 1843.
Oh, there you go. So it's the same.
So he would
era.
Have written it in the 1830s.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Timeline. Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
sense. I'm not sure about the item number 2081, if that's when they think they are going to wrap up the series on ABC. I don't know.
It was 2081.
Yeah.
Well, a cataloging number, that could just be an item number.
Of course. Yeah. No, I mean, it's not everything
well,
is symbolic.
Well, they got to be careful because. Henry already looks like he's about 16 years old.
Yeah, I felt that in one
child's growing.
In the span of one episode, he just jumped 2 or 3 years. Because in the last episode,
really
in the last episode, he looked very young.
Right, right.
I felt like perhaps they recorded stuff for the first episode for the season opener at the end of last season, and then they just picked it up after the summer holidays or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they
Well,
did.
He's at that age. You can hear his voice changing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's growing. So this is.
I know you're in there.
Oh, no. My
how
daughter
old is
all
he now?
Of a sudden thinks he's cute.
Okay. Good
all
for
of
him.
A sudden, you know. He's cute.
Okay.
He's 14.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's the right age.
All right.
Absolutely.
I wonder if Henry will have an important role in this season. He seems to be a bit, he's there, and they just have to refer to him from time to time, but it doesn't feel like he's got anything to do other than being, you know, the nice son who cares for both his moms, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I wonder for Emma, for that matter, as well. I mean, she's there, but she can't do anything. She's just freezing to death. Her magic probably, you know, doesn't even warm her up anymore. So I'm like, yeah, okay.
She was just, her character this episode was simply to bond with Elsa, how like they are, that they have magic and they can't control it. And when she asks, were you born with it or were you cursed? And she's like, I didn't realize those were the only two options.
Really?
Yeah, and then her impending demise was largely for David be able to say, look, you know, you're going to survive this, but can you live with yourself that she's going to die? So there you go, Emma. And for Hook to recognize how deeply he truly cares for her and, you know, and her for him, because when she came out, I mean, she didn't go to her dad.
No.
Did she start calling him dad? She went straight to Hook. It was all, you know.
True.
You know, threw her arms around him, and he was her rescuer. He took her,
the
and
prince.
She.
It
was
the new
very
prince
touching
charming.
Moment.
Yeah.
Teenagers everywhere just went, oh.
Yeah, a little bit of hand-holding later on.
At the same time, of course, that is very it's very dangerous for a character to be in that, you know, comfort zone. Because, of course, a story lives by contrast, by loss, by danger. So something needs to happen. Otherwise, they're just going to get rid of Hook. It's not interesting anymore. The same is true for Henry and for all those other characters. And that's a big problem right now, I feel, for the series and perhaps for the writers as well. They've been introducing so many characters over the past few seasons. And you it's like a clown that, you know, how do you call that? In the with the plates in the air. You got to keep them all in the
spinning
air.
Spinning plates.
Spinning plates. And it's like, how are they going to do that? You have to put your focus somewhere. Last week we complained that it seemed that the episode had no focus on anyone. In this episode, it seems to be a bit more about charming Anna and Elsa, but still a lot of the other characters suffer from that. And
I think
was,
you have that with any ensemble any kind of an ensemble.
Yeah, but remember the times
watch...
of Lost, where we also had a whole bunch of characters, but at least in Lost, you had two camps. So you had the good guys, you had the unknowns or the foreigners or whatever they were called, or the others. And it's still, they were able to kind of group these people. And I feel that in Storybrooke, it's all fragmented.
And you always seem to have like a core three or four who were in every episode.
And that used to be Emma and Charming and Snow. And you don't have that group anymore. So
I guess I'm thinking of like ER, where you had, six or seven characters, characters, and you rotated different episodes. Sometimes it was just about one. Sometimes it was about the interactions of all of them and how they reacted to something affecting the whole hospital. And I kind of see Once Upon a Time more like that. I like the ensemble mix. I don't think they've got too many characters, and I seem to be in the minority.
Little rabbit hole. You mentioned ER, Doctor series. Did you know that I've been watching Once Upon a Time for how many years now? And only this week I realized that Emma is actually the same actress as the assistant of House.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
House,
I was like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's her. I did not
I remember seeing her for the pilot. Yeah. A lot of time, I was like, House, wow, she looks different with blonde hair.
I've just finished watching all the seasons of Lost last year, and I totally missed it.
Well, my husband came to me, and he goes, where do I know that actress from? And it was the Snow Queen at the end in the shop, and I'm like...
Oh, that immediately, I was like, that's Lost.
Well, hang on,
like, well,
we've never seen Lost.
Oh, you've never seen Lost?
We've never seen Lost. So for us, I turned right to him, and I said, V?
Yeah, V.
Hello,
yeah.
She was the hero on V?
Well, we watched Lost with the kids, and then we're on second season of Revolution. So she's also a star in Revolution,
because
it got canceled.
She is. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, she's one of those. She's been in a lot of TV series.
Yeah, but she never gets the lead. It's always a bit.
No, that's right.
She was the lead in Lost. I mean, in V.
Really.
That, again, was an ensemble.
She was important, but not that important. She was still like a secondary character. But she did have a pretty major role there. That was almost distracting to me. It's like, crossover universes. She should be on that island. What's she doing here?
Stop and think. Okay, Shelley, she was also on ER, by the way. But you have to stop and think, wait a minute. Where do I know her from? And like, how many different shows? And
yes.
You have to kind of put her. And then forget all of that and focus on what is this character going
I know
to
that
be.
Was my big problem with Rumpelstiltskin in the first season, because I was like, is he supposed to be on that spaceship that is Lost, like
Stargate Universe,
which I loved, by the way, and I loved his role in that because he was very ambiguous, and I almost felt as if this was like a prequel. It's like the same character, just a little bit more nasty, but anyway. Let's talk about the revelation of the Ice Queen at the end. What did you think about that? I want to hear theories. Who is she? How did she get there? Why does she have an ice cream store that we've never seen before? And how is it possible that her ice magic, and of course, this whole episode was a setup for next week's episode where she's going to be the main villain or one of the big threats. What's going on there? How is she so powerful? What's her relation to Elsa, to the whole story? Deborah is not here, but she sent us a couple of emails with a theory of her brother. And I'm just going to read the emails here because I think it's actually not such a wacky theory. Deborah writes, "It's my birthday and my parents want to take me out for lunch, so I won't be joining you. Happy birthday again, Deborah. But my brother had a crazy theory about the Ice Queen. He thinks it's Elsa's twin and that she was the secret that Elsa's parents had." And then she adds in another email, written just 3 hours ago. So Deborah, you shouldn't be thinking about podcasting on your birthday? Come on. You're too dedicated. She writes, "One more piece of my brother's theory that I added on to is that if the Snow Queen is the sister of Elsa, then perhaps she was baby brokered by Rumpel, or the king and queen had to make a deal with Rumpel to save one child since both have the same ability. I know that's a strange theory, but I wonder how much Rumpel has to do with the backstory, especially since it has to do with the Enchanted Forest. What do y'all think?"
I'm going to take her theory and twist it just a little bit more because the age of the actresses doesn't work for that at all.
I'm thinking older sister.
I was thinking mother. Elizabeth Mitchell's old enough to be her mother. Sorry,
really?
Elizabeth Mitchell.
We love you, Elizabeth.
But why? I mean, she doesn't look it, but she is. Almost.
She's
just
my
a
age. Be careful.
Me. Well, I'm just
I'm
saying,
not saying anything
it could
anymore.
Someone getting cut lightly there.
logically, she's old enough. Anyway, so my theory is, again, the baby brokerage.
Not.
She is.
No, I just looked up the actress.
She's a year older than you.
No, she's not old enough to be the actress who plays Elsa's mother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we can
Sean
talk
Connery
about how baby
played. Played you a know, father of
she's
Harrison
in her
Ford, and they were only 7 years apart. So.
Sure.
Mid 40s, so I'm just saying. Okay. Anyway.
And Elsa's almost 30. Go ahead. I stop.
My thought was mother-daughter, that she's the true mother, that the, you know, that the couple, the king and queen, you know how it goes. How many times have we seen it on this show that they go and they get a baby because they can't have a baby. So they go get a baby, and Snow Queen made a deal with Rumpel or something down the line. He got the, you know, he's always wanting babies, right? He gets the baby. Yes. Gives it to this couple over here, and then they find out she has powers. They don't know where it comes from. So that's the big secret, that she's adopted.
So you think that Elsa is not truly Anna's sister?
Yes. I think that would be a nice but twist to show that sisterly love through adoption could be just as strong.
Think about if that were the case, how incredible, what an incredible power Disney would have given to the writers of this show to completely a major, major revolution about these characters and about their backstory. And it could, you know, this could be of major consequences to any sequel that they want to do. Would they truly go this far? I feel that would go way over the boundaries of these licenses.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. But any way that they make Elsa related to the Snow Queen, I mean, if they do it in any way, it's going to change the backstory of Elsa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
Well, let's think of another theory that doesn't involve them being related.
Yeah.
What if the Snow Queen cursed the family and their daughter was born with maybe they had a run-in with her when they were pregnant, and she cursed them, and or she cursed the baby, you know, like the Sleeping Beauty, where they give the gifts to the little baby, you know, mm-hmm. You shall have the gift of song, you shall have the gift of beauty, you're going to be able to freeze anything you want.
You know, that was part of, when they were writing Frozen, that was part of the original story, is that it was a curse.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Because she said, were you born with it or were you cursed?
I think that somehow the Ice Queen has been... somehow been the victim of whatever Rumpelstiltskin's dealings were with family, and that she feels wronged, and that as a revenge she curses the they're not twins, right? Elsa and Anna.
No.
Okay. So it's probably their first child. Perhaps there was even danger of her dying or something like that, and then Rumpel did something that ticked off the Ice Queen, and she cast a spell, and perhaps she even tried to kill the baby and didn't, and now she's in Storybrooke to finish the job, something like that. I'm thinking she's almost like she definitely is the source of the power of Elsa, which also already would be quite cool if Disney allowed that there's an explanation for those powers of Elsa, and why doesn't Anna have them? So that's definitely that would be very generous of Disney to do that. But it wouldn't mess up the story. It wouldn't mess up the movie, because it's just some background information, and you can the story totally works without you knowing where those powers come from.
Well, and it could be that that's a plan for them to work into the sequel, is where the powers come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. What do you think, David? Any theories about the Ice Queen and what she's going to do?
Well, I knew something was going to happen the moment they started really hammering home about, wow, those ice powers are cool. Those are unique. I've never seen those before. I'm like, okay, they're really trying to do something here. Yeah, I'd like to think my first thought is that, you know, it could be some kind of curse, because unlike our frozen lady, she has perfect control over the ice. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah,
and I could see her getting a kick out of, you know, here, like, you know, here, have fun.
Right.
So I just am just, she does not seem to be very, she seems to be a bit mischievous just from that 30 seconds we saw her in.
Oh yeah. I mean, she totally,
I would not be shocked.
She's evil, mm-hmm. But she does make ice cream. So there is a redeeming element there, at least for the dwarves.
Oh, yeah.
Grumpy doesn't seem to be very grumpy.
At least for Grumpy. He was not grumpy at all.
He's like, oh, finally ice cream. And of course, they've been really in a very dire situation without internet for a week. So, any final topics that we need to touch upon? Otherwise, we'll go to the promo for next week.
Okay, did anyone else have a problem with the fact that the ice walls took down their power lines? And they kept showing us the power lines were down, mm-hmm. yet suddenly they were able to start up this restart a power plant that brought their power back online?
With fuel, yes. Which apparently was turned off by the same accident
right.
or something?
But yeah. they still didn't have their power lines up, but they were able to get their power back up.
Yeah.
Filler.
I know, but it just drove me crazy.
I think it is.
I mean, that means they're running on backup power, and they're gonna tank out at some point.
No, I think there's a hidden evil person here in the background. This is my crackpot conspiracy theory. I think Mulan is behind all of this. Mulan, or what's her? How do you pronounce it?
That's true. We haven't seen her in a while.
Because the power plant was built by Japanese. Isn't Mulan is Chinese, right? I don't know.
Chinese.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that my theory's out of the window. It's been a while since I watched Mulan. Anyway, but I actually really I thought it's not really very good writing, but I still enjoyed that moment where she's like, "Oh, the baby needs food. No, food feeding. Oh, I need to feed them."
Two tiny little things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you caught that Ruth gave Anna sandwiches and she told her yes. how much she loved them.
Yes, that was
that's,
great.
David, that's you're straight out of the movie.
And that, in the movie, it's another reference to The Breakfast Club, right? Or some like ancient movie from the 80s, I think.
80s you can't call ancient? The 80s ancient.
Hey, it's a long time ago for me.
That's funny.
I don't remember The Breakfast Club having sandwiches.
No. But the phrase itself is from. Oh, actually, no. It's from Arrested Development. It's not from the '80s.
Oh.
We finished each other's sandwiches.
Yeah, it was Bateman. Their moment there. Bateman was Captain '80s. Yes.
Yeah,
I was about to say
it's a joke from Arrested Development. Anyway.
Did you notice that they never introduced Elsa to anybody? Nobody said who they were except Emma. Hi, I'm Emma.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that's my dad. And then they're in the room, and Mary Margaret Snow walks in, and she's like, "Who's that?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, he didn't even say your name. He's like, "We're gonna help her find her sister," and you know, because that's what we do. We are the family. We find people. We bring people together. We don't like to give up. And everybody's like, "Yeah." And like, hello, your name?
Well, I was just waiting when she said. That's my dad. I'm sorry, but I would at least have expected a look of confusion to pass over Elsa's face mm-hmm. and go, "What?
Your dad's your age?
What? And that's your mom? What?"
Yep. Oh, well, perhaps she's seen weirder things sure. in her life.
There's trolls in her world that come to life out of rocks, yeah, so whatever.
Well, and if the Ice Queen is truly their mom or something like that, then that's kind of the same.
Yeah.
What? How? What? Okay, let's go quickly take a look at the sneak peek or the promo for next week's episode, which is, I don't know, what is this called, actually? It's probably something with snow. Does anyone know what the title is?
Oh, I did. Hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. I stopped. Rocky Road.
Oh, Rocky Road.
Yeah. Like Rocky ice Road cream. Ice Cream? Yeah.
Ice Cream, yeah. All right, here we
Rocky
go.
Rocky Road.
This is strong magic.
Next Sunday, frost bites. When a frozen curse is cast,
it's Elsa. Who else can turn people into popsicles?
Someone else did this.
And a snow queen rises with twice the ice.
I'm gonna go find who did this before it happens again.
And zero nice.
No!
Lost Elizabeth Mitchell guest stars.
You really think that your magic is a match for mine?
New Once Upon a Time, next Sunday, 8, 7 central on ABC. See the season from the beginning on Watch ABC and ABC On Demand.
Yeah. Twice the ice and not so much nice. Really? Come on. They're a little bit cheesy. But anyway, I'm looking forward to talking about that episode next week again with Deborah hopefully also being there. We'll see. It's always a little bit of a challenge to get everyone together since we record this via Skype on various continents. I'm in Europe and you all are in the United States. But thanks for listening wherever you are in the world. And we hope you enjoyed it. Go over to sqpn.com for all our other shows and leave us a review on iTunes if you have the occasion. Thanks, and all the show notes, of course, also on sqpn.com.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.